Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksuba's daf Chav Vav. We left off Chav Hey Amud Beis toward the bottom of the Amud, probably about three quarters of the way down the Amud. We're going to pick up again five lines up from where the lines get wide today. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very much for the sponsorship. Also, Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Le'al HaShalom, may her neshama have an aliyah in the schus of our learning. So today again, we're going to talk about the level of edus necessary, the level of proof necessary in order to testify that somebody is a Kohen. So we had seen a Mishnah a couple of days ago with a machlokas. The machlokas was whether we require one aid in order to testify that somebody is a Kohen, whether we require two aidim to testify that somebody is a Kohen, or whether the number of aidim that are required in order to prove that somebody is a Kohen depends on whether there are orerim or not, depends on whether there is a challenge to his status as a Kohen to begin with. So today we're going to talk about, and then we saw that there was a machlokas, or perhaps two ways, rather an explanation, or maybe two explanations, as to the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim and our Mishnah as to whether one aid is required in order to elevate somebody to the status of a Kohen, or whether two aidim are required, whether the machlokas is based on whether we're concerned about gomlin, whether we're concerned about reciprocal favors, where if we only require one aid, we're afraid that the two people are going to run a scam. One guy is going to testify on behalf of the other that he's a Kohen. The first guy is going to testify on behalf of the second guy that he's a Kohen. And it's all going to be a scam, but they're going to be able to be elevated to the status of Kahuna on that basis. Or if the issue is more reliant on, more depends on the question of whether when a person, once a person is a Kohen for certain purposes, do we assume that he's a Kohen for all purposes? In other words, the fact that we consider him as a Kohen in order to give him truma or in order to permit him to duchen, does that mean that we're automatically going to assume that he's a Kohen as well for purposes of yuchsin, in order for him to marry women of untainted lineage? And we know that ma'alalu b'yuchsin, that by yuchsin we require two edim. So the question is, do we require two edim generally in order to elevate somebody to the status of a Kohen? Because are we concerned that no matter what it is, no matter what the testimony is geared toward, whether it's geared toward Truma, whether it's geared toward Nesias Kapayim or anything else, we are inevitably going to assume that he's a Kohen as well for Yuchsin. And therefore, on the front end, we're going to require two Adim as well. So first, what we're going to talk about today is first about people being elevated to the status of Kahuna al pi eid echad, but not even al pi eid echad, really al pi the edus of krovim, al pi the edus of either the guy's father or the guy's brother. We're going to talk about how it is that a father or a brother can serve as an aid in this regard. We're going to see that there was an instance in which somebody was elevated to the status of Kahuna on account of the testimony of an Eid Echad. Another instance where somebody was elevated to the status of Levia on account of the testimony of an Eid Echad. We're going to ask, what does it mean that you're elevated to the status of Levia? What's the benefit? The obvious benefit is that you get Meiser. We're then going to say that maybe that person was a Kohen, and then we're going to talk about why it would have been that a Kohen would get Meiser. And that itself is an interesting discussion in the Gemara. And then we're going to talk about the Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel that we saw at the end of the Mishnah, where he seems to say that we're Malon Lakun al Pi Eid Echad, which seems to be the Shita of the Tanakama. We're going to ask what the difference is between the Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and the Tanakama. And we're going to talk about what it means in the Mishnah when we say that there is a challenge. What does it mean that there is a challenge to the status of the Kahuna? Does it mean that one person challenged the guy's status as a Kohen, that there were two people who challenged the guy's status as a Kohen? So we're going to see exactly what that means and what type of testimony is needed to overcome such a challenge in order to reinstate the person. So we're going to talk about that. Then we're going to get to a Mishnah on Chaf Vav Amud Beis. The Mishnah is going to talk about what happens when a woman is imprisoned at the hands of Ovdei Kochavim, whether she is going to be muteres to her husband or not. And we're going to see in Machlokas whether the husband is a Kohen or the husband is a Yisrael. And it's going to, obviously, this is going to depend on whether we assume that the woman would have been violated in her captivity or not, and that will depend on what exactly the woman was being held captive for. Was she held captive because she or her husband owed money to the Goyim? Was she held captive because one of them was going to receive the death penalty? Did that make a difference in terms of how the Ovdei Kochavim treat the woman? So again, most of it is about kahuna. All the way at the end, we're going to talk again about captives. So we left off five lines up from where the lines get wide on Chafayim Abayz. First word on the line is Nafcha, and we're going to pick up from Rebbe Vrabichia. So the third to last word on that line. So Rebbe Vrabichia, Chad Ela Ben Al Pi Aviv LeKahuna. One elevated a son to the status of kahuna because of the testimony of his father. V'chad hela ach al pi achiv leLevia, and the other elevated somebody to the status of Levia through the testimony of his brother. So t'stayim de Rebbe hela ben al pi aviv leKahuna. So let's bring a raya that it was Rebbe who actually elevated a son to the status of kahuna, I'll be the testimony of his own father. The Tanya, because we learn the following. We learn a b'raisa, Reisha b'avi amar b'nizev kohenu. If a person comes and says, this is my son, I get a mazel tov, this is my son, and he's a kohen. So neman la chilu b'truma, vei neman la siyo isha. Divrei Rebbe. So Rebbe says that he's believed to feed him truma. In other words, he's believed that the kid is a kohen legabe, that he's allowed to feed his kid truma. However, ve'inanem and lasiu isha, he's not believed to say that his kid is a kohen to the extent that we're going to allow his son to marry women of untainted lineage. That's what Rebbe says. And Amar lo Rebbe Chia, and Rebbe Chia says, I don't get this split concept. I don't get this split psak. In other words, do we believe the guy or not? If we believe the guy that his kid's a kohen, so let the kid eat truma and let the kid marry a woman of untainted lineage. If we don't believe that the kid is a kohen, so why are we allowed to give the kid truma? So then the kid shouldn't be considered to be a kohen, regardless, for any halacha. So says Rabbi Chia, imata mamina lachila betruma, tamina lasiya isha, viyata mamina lasiya isha, lo tamina lachal betruma. So it should be an either all or nothing. I don't understand why you're splitting the psak, why you're going to believe him lagabe truma, but you're not going to believe him lagabe isha. So says Rev, says the Gemara, so Amar Lei, so says Rebbe, anim amina lachila betruma, shabiyada lachila betruma. I believe him that he's able to give it, that he's a kohen legabe truma, because even if the kid were not a kohen himself, he would still be able to feed this child truma. Why? Because he's a kohen and everybody's giving him truma. So once everybody gives him truma, he could give the kid as much truma as he wants. Remember, even an eved of a kohen is allowed to eat truma. So once the kohen himself gets truma, he it's within his power to give the kid as much truma as he wants. Not necessarily that it would be the right thing to give the kid truma, but in other words, he's not facilitating the kid getting something that he otherwise would have been flatly unable to get, because it was always within his power to give the child truma anyway. Says the Gemara, though, three lines up, Ve'inam aminu la'asiyo isha, shein b'yad la'asiyo isha. But I'm not believed to qualify him as a kohen to the extent where he's going to be able to marry a woman of untainted lineage, because it's not like that's within my power to marry him off to a woman of untainted lineage just because I want to. No, that depends on his status. Feeding the kid truma more depends on the guy's own status rather than the kid's status. The kid marrying a woman of untainted lineage depends on the kid's status. That's why the father is believed to say that the child is a kohen legabe eating truma, because he could have fed the kid truma anyway. So it's not such a leap, but he's not believed to say that he's a kohen for the purpose of marrying a woman of untainted lineage, because that obviously is not within his control. So what we see from here is that this whole Leibedik discussion about the extent to which we're going to believe the father about the status of his child involved Rebbe and Reb Chia, and Rebbe was the one who was believing the father about the status of his child for a limited purpose, for the purpose of eating truma, and therefore t'stayim, and therefore it is a proof, it is a conclusive proof, says the Gemara, three lines up, that it was Rebbe who was male, the kid to the kahuna, al pi the testimony of his father. And now says the Gemara, Umid the Rebbe Ella ben al piyaviv lekuhuna, from the fact that it was Rebbe who believed the testimony of the father in order to elevate the son to kuhuna, Rav Chiya Ella al piyachiv leviya, that it was Rav Chiya who was male, a person to the status of a Levi, al pi the testimony of his brother. So says the Gemara, but Rav Chiya maishna ben delo, why would Rav Chiya believe only the testimony of a brother, but not the testimony of a father? So it's obvious that he wouldn't believe, isn't it, the fact that he wouldn't believe the testimony of a father, legabe the son, why? To karavu eitzelaviv, because the son is a karov to the father. The reason that the father is not believed to elevate the son to kuhuna is because the father and the son are krovim, obviously he's self-interested, and therefore the father is not going to believe to come and testify as to the status of the son. But achnami karavu eitzelachiv. But the problem is brothers are also krovim to one another. And if you're not going to believe a father's testimony about his son, why would you believe a brother's testimony about his brother? So says the Gemara, turning to Chavav and Aleph, Masiach lefi tumo. We're talking about that the brother was Masiach lefi tumo, that the brother was speaking casually. In other words, the brother was never intending to deliver edus. He was stam recounting what he recalled, and through the stream of consciousness discussion, not intended edus, we were able to show that the brother was actually a Levi, and that was the testimony, I'm the air quotes, the testimony that we used, that Rav Chiya used in order to elevate his brother to the status of Leviah, because it wasn't L'Shem Edus, rather it was Messiah Fafituma with stream of consciousness discussion. Now, happens to be that if it was stream of consciousness discussion, and the Gemara is going to get to this, but if it was stream of consciousness discussion and it wasn't intended testimony, then the same way you believe that stream of consciousness from one brother testifying as to the other brother, you should also believe if the father was speaking about the son, because the whole point is, how can you believe him? He's a karov. Well, it's not testimony. That's why you're believing him. It's not testimony. It's rather Messiah Lefitumo. Elamai, the Maisa of Rav Chiya happened to have been where one brother was talking about the other brother, and that's why Lagabe Rav Chiya elevating one of the brothers to a Levi, to the status of a Levi, that's why he was talking about brother to brother and not father to son. All right, but what's this Messiah Lefitumo? So the Gemara elaborates. The Gemara explains what that means. That there was a maisa with Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Maisa b'yadam echad chayim esiach levi tumo. There was a maisa with a guy who was stam reminiscing about his childhood. V'yamar, and he said, I remember kishani tinog, when I was a young child in Murchav al Ksefa Shalaba, and I would get the shoulder ride by my father, but siyuni mi beis ha-sefer, and he would pick me up from school, carry me on my shoulders, v'efshituni es kutonti, he would change my clothing, bet biluni, and he would be tovel me, Rashi says, because stam tinokos play in garbage dumps, and that's where shrutzim are found, and shrutzim are tameh. So we're going to see that this guy was taking his son to Truma, and if everybody's going to be playing with worms and with other things that are tamei, you have to bring him to the mikvah to make sure that he's eligible to Truma. Bet biluni lecho betruma le'erev, and he was tovel me in order to Truma le'erev. Why was it le'erev? Because one requires herev shemesh after tvila in order to Truma. So Rav Chiya Mesayim Ba, and Rav Chiya concludes this story by saying the Chavera B'Dilim Mimeni, that this fellow's recounting continued, that after my father would pick me up and give me a shoulder ride and take me to the mikvah, and he would change my clothing and it would be tovel me in order that I should eat truma, all of my friends would separate from me because they knew that I was tahar now and that they couldn't play with me lest they make me tameh. And they used to call me Yochanan Ochel Chalos, meaning Chalos till truma, that this is Yochanan with a kid who eats truma. Veleo Rebbe Lakuna Alpiv. And Rebbe mattered him to eat truma. Rebbe elevated him to eat kuna alpiv on the basis of his own testimony. Now I thought this is machlokas whether there's one aid that's required in order to elevate somebody to kuna, or whether there's two aidim. And the one aid that we said could be even a karov. But the guy's own testimony, like the guy's able to be made on himself, the answer is, this is not edus. This is stam stream of consciousness. This is reminiscence. This is stream of consciousness discussion. And this is the type of not testimony, but the type of accounting for which we are going to believe even a relative. Are you going to believe it when he was talking about himself? But certainly we're going to believe when a relative is reminiscing in this stream of consciousness type of conversation. There was a machlokas rishonim as to what exactly the guy was able to do once Rebbe was mala this person to kahuna. The Ritva says that he was able to eat truma, but only truma mi derabanan. However, the Rambam says that he was able to eat truma mi deraisa as well, because it was a valid accounting that he was actually a kohen. And just like he was able to eat truma deraisa, he was also able to be nosei kapav, that he was able to duchen as well, even though there's an isarasei for a zar to duchen, but we really take this seriously, and we believe that this guy actually is a kohen, because we're going to believe him when he's speaking mesiach lefi tumo. Says the Gemara now, Vayter, Tanya, Rebbe Shem ben Elazar Omer, Kashem she truma chazaka lekuhuna, just like truma is a chazaka to kuhuna, kach ma'aser rishon, in other words, if you see somebody getting truma, you can assume he's a kohen. That we saw yesterday. If the guy is taking truma by a granary, kach ma'aser rishon chazaka lekuhuna. Also, taking ma'aser rishon is a chazaka to kahuna. We would have thought it would say leviyah. We're going to see in the Gemara why it says that taking ma'aser rishon is a chazaka that the guy's a kohen. Va'cholek be'beis din, and if a person is taking truma in beis din, eino chazaka. It's not going to be a chazaka. And the Gemara and Rashi says that the Gemara is going to ask, what we think now is that we're talking about a case where the guy is being cholik truma in the Beis HaGranos in front of a Beis Din, which is kavua in the city. Yet the Gemara says, eino chazaka, that's not a chazaka that the guy is a kohen. And the Gemara is going to ask, well, if taking truma is proof that the guy is a kohen, but if you take truma in front of a Beis Din, then it's not a chazaka, how exactly would you be able to get truma and have it be a chazaka? Is there no greater chazaka than taking it in front of a Beis Din, which is kavua in the city? That would appear to be the best type of chazaka. So we're going to get to that. We have to be patient. Says the Gemara, before we get to that, we said a very weird thing. We said that if a guy takes truma, we know that he's a kohen. If a guy takes ma'aser rishon, we know that he's a kohen. Says the Gemara, hang on a second, pump the brakes. Ma'aser rishon de leviu. Ma'aser rishon belongs to a Levi. If the guy takes ma'aser rishon, why is it proof that the guy's a Kohen? If anything, shouldn't it be proof that the guy's a Levi? What are you talking about? Says the Gemara, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. No, it's like Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. The Tanya, Truma la Kohen, that Truma goes to the Kohen, ma'aser rishon la Levi, divrei Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Akiva says, Truma goes to the Kohen, ma'aser rishon goes to the Levi. Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, Omer, ma'aser rishon af la Kohen, that ma'aser rishon also goes to the Kohen. The Torah says that Ma'aser Rishon goes to the Levi. So how could you tell me that Ma'aser Rishon goes to the Kohen? So the answer is that there are 24 places in the Torah where the Torah will use the word B'nai Levi, but really it means Kohanim. Okay, so we have to say that this is one of the 24 places where the Kohanim are referred to as Leviim. So far we have Rabbi Kiva saying that Ma'aser Rishon has to be given to a Levi, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says the Ma'aser Rishon can even be given to a Kohen. Okay, but even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that Ma'aser Rishon can even be given to a Kohen, if we see a person getting Ma'aser Rishon, how do we know that he's a Kohen? Could be he's a Levi. You're right, it could be he's a Kohen, because a Kohen can take Ma'aser Rishon, but he could also be a Levi. Says the Gemara, Se'emar Demar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the last skinny line, Afla Kohen. Maybe what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says is Afla Kohen, that you could give Ma'aser Rishon even to a Kohen. La Kohen velo Levi mi Amar. However, do we ever see where he says that you could give it to a Kohen and not a Levi, meaning that we're going to elevate the guy to the status of a Kohen, because we see him getting Ma'aser Sheni, that obviously means that the guy, that Ma'aser Rishon goes only to a Kohen and not to a Levi. Because if Ma'aser Rishon went to a Levi, we would never be able to elevate the guy to the status of Kahuna simply because we see him eating Ma'aser Rishon. We see him getting Ma'aser Rishon. Says the Gemara, first wide line, in Basar Takam Sinu Ezra, yeah, in Echinami, after Ezra, Levi to Knas, on the Levim, then the Maaser Rishon only went to the Kohanim and didn't go to the Levim. Why did Ezra levy a knas on the Levim? So he levied a knas on the Levim because the Levim did not follow Ezra and didn't go up to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, Ezra gave a knas. Ezra made a knas and said, since you guys didn't follow me to Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to make a knas that you guys are no longer entitled to Maaser Rishon. So it turns out that Maaser Rishon is not something that you could give either to a Kohen or to a Levi. Used to be that you could give either to a Kohen or to a Levi. After Ezra's knas, you could only give it to a Kohen. And therefore, if you see somebody taking Maaser Rishon, you know that he's a Kohen, just like if you see him taking Truma, you know that he is a Kohen. Says the Gemara, V'dilma ikru v'yayivlu. Well, how do you know? Even after the knas, could be maybe just somebody happened to go give it to a Levi. So why is it proof positive that the guy is a Kohen just because he got Maaser Rishon? Some Rav Chista Hacha b'Mayaskina could go to Mokshak Labavu Adai Kohenu. That, no, we're talking about a different case. We're talking about a case where there was a chazaka that this guy was a Kohen. Why was it chazaka that this guy was a Kohen? Because we know that his father was a Kohen. V'nefak alea kala, the ben grusha ben chalutzahu. However, that then there was a rumor that went out that he was a ben grusha or a ben chalutza. And if you're a ben grusha or a ben chalutza, then you're a chalal. And if you're a chalal, you're not supposed to be getting trumas and maisras. So v'cholkule lididei maiser bebeis agranos, and everybody was giving him maiser in the beis agranos. So if there was previously a chazaka that the guy was a kohen, then there was a rumor that maybe he was a cholol and he shouldn't have been getting any of this stuff. But we saw him getting Maaser Rishon in the Beis HaGranos. So the question is, what is he? So Levi, says the Gemara, is he a Levi? To love Levi who? We know he's not a Levi because there was a chazaka that his father was a Kohen. So obviously he wasn't a Levi. So Ma'ikel Meimar, so what else can you say? That Ben Grusha Ben Chalutzu, that he's a Ben Grusha or a Ben Chalutza, and that he's a chalol, can't be that he's a chalol, because if he was a chalol, we wouldn't give him Maaser. So Elamai, we know that this guy must be a Kohen, because there was a chazaka that his father was a Kohen. We know that he must not be a Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza. Elamai, he must be a Kasher or Kohen, and that's why they're giving him Maaser Sheni. So says the Gemara, that Maaser Risha, rather, says the Gemara, so lomi boy laman diyamar Maaser Rishon asur lezorim, that it's a lomi boy, according to the Mandi Amor, who says that Maaser Rishon is also to Zarin, that were it not for the fact that the guy was a legitimate Kohen, they wouldn't give it to him. But even if you want to say that Maaser Rishon is Mutter Lazarim, still it's proof that the guy is a Kohen if they were giving him Maaser Rishon in the granary. Why? Because Hani Mili La Mispak Lahu. When we say that Maaser Rishon is Mutter for Zarim, that's only if it's given casually. However, Aval Betoras Chaluka Lo Yahavile. However, in the form of a formal distribution, that he wouldn't get unless he was actually a Kohen. So if the guy was getting a formal distribution in a granary, then it's proof that he was a Kohen. Again, why is it proof that he was a Kohen? Maybe he was a Levi. No, because it was after the Knas, and therefore he had to have been a Kohen, or because there was a Chazaka that the guy's father was a Kohen, and therefore we knew that that the guy was definitely a Kohen. Maaser Rishon might not be Usur for Zarim. That's only in a casual context, in a formal distribution context, said the Gemara. It is only able to be given to a Kohen. Says the Gemara, now picking up on a strange thing that the Braisa told us, Vacholik beBeisdin, if a person takes Truma or Maaser and Beisdin, ain't a Chazaka, then that's not going to be a Chazaka. Says the Gemara, Ibe Beisdin lo avi Chazaka, hecha avi Chazaka, I don't get it. If even getting a distribution in a Beisdin is not a Chazaka, where in the world would it be a Chazaka? This should be like the gold standard for bringing a Raya from distribution of Truma Maaser if it's taking place in Beisdin. So I'm Rav Sheshes, as Hachi Kamar. Says Rav Sheshes, this is what the Gemara means to say. Acholik truma b'nichsei aviv im achiv bebeistin. If a person is taking a share of truma from the nechasim of his father with his brothers in Beistin when they're dividing up a Yerusha, ain't a chazaka. Then it's not going to be a chazaka that the guy is a Kohen, that the guy is a valid Kohen. Says the Gemara, but pshita, but it's pashat. that there is no chazaka that the guy is a kohen. Why? Because, says Rashi, even if he's a chalal, of course it's pashat that there's no right that the guy is a kosher kohen because he's taking a Yerusha. Even if the guy is a chalal, meaning he's not fit to receive truma or anything else, he's entitled to a distribution of from the estate. He's entitled to a share of the inheritance. So, of course, he's getting an inheritance. Why wouldn't he get an inheritance? It says the Gemara, because I might think from the fact that his brothers who are bona fide Kohanim are taking from the estate in order to eat the truma, this guy, when he's collecting truma from the estate, also is doing so for the purpose of eating it, and therefore maybe there's a raya that the guy is a legitimate bona fide Kohen. Says the Gemara, Kamash Balon, Hanach Lachila, Hai Lizbuni. No, there's no raya that the guy's a Kohen, because whereas his brothers, who are legitimate Kohanim, may have been taking the truma in order to eat the truma, this brother could be a chalal, could be that he's taking the truma not for the purpose of eating the truma himself, because it's going to be usur for him to eat the truma, but rather because he is entitled to inherit his father's estate, therefore he could take the truma and not eat it, but maybe he could sell it, and that's why he is taking the share of the father's estate. So when we say that a cholik bebeistin ain a chazaka, what we mean is that if a guy is taking a share of an inheritance in a court-supervised probate process, that's not a chazaka that the guy is necessarily a kosher, a kohen, because he could be a chalal, and he's taking the truma not to eat it, but rather as a share of his inheritance, because even a chalal is entitled to inherit his father. Okay, says the Gemara in Avaita, Rav Yudah Amar Ein Malan Lekun Al Pi Erecha. So Rav Yudah said that we don't elevate to the kuna al piyed echad, and then Rav Elazar said, no, it depends if there are challengers, if there are orerim, then we're not malon lekuna al piyed echad. If there are no orerim, then we are malon lekuna al piyed echad. And then Rav Shim Gamliel came and said that yes, we are malon lekuna al piyed echad. And of course, that was the sheet of the Tanakama, who told us before Rav Yudah came and argued on him that we are malon lekuna al pi eid echad. So says the Gemara that Rabbi Shim Gamliel, Hainu Rabbi Lazar, that Rabbi Shim Gamliel is the same as Rabbi Lazar. So we're not going right away that he's the same as the Tanakhama, but what we're saying is he's the same as Rabbi Lazar. Why? Because Rabbi Eliezer said that if there are no orerim, then we are malon lekuna al pi eid echad. It's only if there are orerim where we're not malon lekuna al pi eid echad. Says the Gemara, well, maybe they differ in a case where there was an irurchad. What's an irurchad? An irurchad means that one person was challenging this guy's status as a legitimate kohen. How so? The Rabbi Lezer Savar irurchad. The Rabbi Lezer says that irurchad is considered to be an error. And therefore, when Rabbi Lezer says that we're going to believe in Eid Echad to be Malam Lekuhuna when there's no Orerim, that means only when there's nobody who's raising a challenge. But if there's even one person who's raising a challenge, that's going to be considered a valid challenge. And then we're no longer going to believe one Eid in order to elevate the guy to Kuhuna. We're going to require two Eidim in order to elevate the guy to Kuhuna. However, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Savar Irur Trey, and that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that error trade, that when we say that there has to be a challenge, and that's the scenario in which we require two Eidim in order to elevate the guy to Kuna, and one is not enough, that's only when there's a challenge brought by two people. If there's a challenge brought by one person, that halakhically is not considered to be a challenge, and therefore, even if there is one challenger, we would still believe another person, one person, to be Mala, this guy, to Kuhuna. So how could that be, though, that they're arguing about whether a challenge brought by one person is a valid challenge or not? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Divrei HaKol Ein Irur Pachas Mishnayim. But everybody says that a challenge is only valid if it's brought by two challengers. So you can't say that the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is whether we require two witnesses to elevate to kahuna in the face of a challenge brought by one person, because everybody will admit that a challenge brought by one person is worthless. It's not a valid challenge. No, we're talking about a very complicated case. So the guy has we'll see why it's complicated. Because there's a chazaka that the guy's father is a kohen. So then there was a rumor that the guy was actually a cholol, because he was a ben grusha ben chalutza. So initially there was a chazaka that the guy was a kohen. Then there was a rumor the guy was a pasul kohen. The guy was a cholol. Vachtinu, and therefore they demoted him. They demoted him from the kahuna, Rashi says, pending an investigation, that, so that they can investigate what exactly the guy's status was. And then one aide came and said, that I know that he's a Kohen, that I know that he's a Kasher Kohen, turning over to Chafav Amabez, Vaskinu. And then they reinstated him. Why? Because there was no challenge that the guy wasn't a Kohen. All there was a rumor, says Rashi, that the guy was a Cholol. But a rumor is not the same as a challenge. A rumor is nothing. And therefore, in the face of a rumor, we're going to believe one aide to elevate the guy to the status of a kunis. Again, there was a chazaka, the guy's a kohen. A rumor, the guy might be a cholol. One aide who says that he's a kohen, great, they reinstated him. V'yasu be'trei v'yamri ben grusha ben chalutzahu. However, then two people came and said, they verified, they substantiated the rumor. And they said that the guy's a cholol. V'yachtinu. And then they demoted him again. And now a second aide to support him comes and says, I know that he's a kosher Kohen. Ah, so now it's super complicated because we had a chazak, he's a Kohen. A rumor, he's a chalal. One guy says he's valid. Two guys say he's invalid. Another guy says he's valid. So now, after all the dust settles, we have two guys who say that he's a cholol, and we have two guys who testified separately, you say that he's a valid kohen, that he's a legitimate kohen. So says the Gemara, so vaseidecha v'yomer yadana be the kohenu, so v'dekuli alma mitstarfen le'edus. Everybody, according to the first plot in the Gemara, everybody agrees that these two guys who came separately are mitzaref le'edus, that the two guys who separately came and testified that he's a legitimate kohen, they could be mitzaref. We're simply worried that if we reinstate him on the basis of the testimony of the second guy who comes and says that he's a legitimate kohen, are we making Beis Din into a mockery? Because remember, the guy was a kohen as a result of a chazaka. Then there was a rumor. So we demoted him, and then one guy came and says he's a legitimate kohen, so we reinstated him. And then two guys came and said that he's a cholol, and therefore we demoted him. And now a second guy is coming and saying there's a legitimate kohen. So the guy's right now yo-yoing between he's a legitimate kohen, he's not a legitimate kohen, they reinstated him, they demoted him. So it looks like a joke already. Tanakama says, Rabbi Lezer says, in other words, when we say that we don't believe one in the face of a challenge, what it means is that we're not going to believe the testimony of the second guy who's coming and saying that he's a legitimate Kohen, because by now it looks like a joke, because he was demoted, then reinstated, now demoted, and if we're going to reinstate him again, we're going to make Beis Din look like a joke. But however, Rabbi Shimon Leal says, Ananachtin alei, v'anamaskin alei, uzulusa de bedina lo chashinan. That it is what it is. In other words, all Beis Din is doing is trying to make sure that they do the right thing. And if by trying to make sure that they do the right thing, we have to demote him and then reinstate him and then demote him and then reinstate him, because that's the way the fact pattern unfolds. That's the way the testimony unfolds. That's not as elusive to Beis Din. That's Beis Din trying to be cautious and trying to make sure that they got the answer right. And we don't worry about elusive to Beis Din. And why do we therefore believe the second guy, the second individual, when he comes and says that the guy's a legitimate coin? Because now what we have is a tray, a tray. We had two guys who said that he was a cholol, but two separate guys who testified that the guy's a legitimate coin. And we also have a chazaka that the guy's father was a legitimate coin. So therefore, if we have tray, a tray, the tray, a tray cancel each other out, we're going to follow the chazaka. We had a call. We also had a rumor that was against the chazaka. A call against the chazaka is nothing. So we ignore the call against the chazaka. Trey a trey, we default to a chazaka. The guy's a legitimate kohen. Therefore, Beis Din will reinstate him again. Says the Gemara, Maska flor avashi, yachi, afilu trey a trey nami. But if that's the case, why do we have to argue about the funky case where there's the chazaka, then the kol, then one guy comes and says he's a legitimate coin, then two guys come and say, no, you're not, then another guy comes and says you're a legitimate coin? If the whole chiddush here is all about trey a trey, let's simplify the case and say two guys come and testify that the guy's a cholol, two guys come and testify that the guy's a legitimate coin, they're at loggerheads, and therefore we're going to follow the chazaka. So says the Gemara, Now, because the whole machlokas, and this was sort of obvious, is that the argument is whether the two individuals could be mitzaref to edus. And it's the following machlokas. The Tanya, ein edusa mitzarefes ad shehiru shneim keechad. That the edus is only mitzaref when the two people witness the same event simultaneously. They have to witness it together. Rabbi Shua ben Karko Omar afilu b'zeh chazeh. No, they could testify even if they've witnessed the act one after the other. They don't have to witness it simultaneously. And this is relevant. This is the part that's relevant to us. Vein edusim eskayim es bebeisin, and the edus is only mekuyim bebeisin, achi yidu shneim ke'echad, when they come to testify as a single unit in beisin. However, Rav Nosson Omer, shomen dvarav shalzei ayom, uchsheyeva chaver lamachar, shomen dvarav. That we could hear the one guy's testimony one day, and then the next day when the other guy comes and testifies, we hear his testimony. And the chiddush is that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel holds that these two individuals can be mitzaref to a unit of edus, and we're going to treat this as edus of shnei edim. And that's why we have this case with the interesting twist, where it's first one guy testifies he's a legitimate Kohen, then there are two who testify that he's a Cholol, then another guy comes and testifies he's a legitimate Kohen. The reason we set up the case specifically like this is because Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is teaching us that the edus, the individual edus of these witnesses, is able to be combined into a unit of edus of two edim. Okay, great. So now the Gemara is going to switch topics, and with the next Mishnah, we're going to talk again about people who are held captive. Says the Mishnah as follows. If you have a woman who was imprisoned at the hands of an Ovei Kochavim, if she was testified for some monetary reason, then she is going to be mutter to her husband. Why? Because Rashi says that the Akum are afraid of being mafsid their mamon, and they're not going to be mafkir her. They're not going to treat her with hefkerus because they don't want to impinge their ability to collect their debt. Now, what does it mean muteris labaila? So Tosfos says over here al yidei mamon, the second to last Tosfos on the page, nira de muteris afilu labaila kohen de lo chashina afilu la onsa mishum demit ratchi lahafsin mamonam velo dami deshvuya. This is not like the case of captive. Here she was imprisoned. She wasn't held captive by a bunch of lowlifes. She was in a jail. The jail is a real jail system. And therefore, if she was held because of some sort of monetary infraction, because they were trying to collect a debt, we don't have to be afraid that they violated her, because they wouldn't violate her. They wouldn't treat her as hefker because they don't want to jeopardize their ability to collect the debt. Therefore, even if her husband is a Kohen, and she would be usher to him if she was nansa, if she were raped, we don't have to worry that she was raped because they definitely treated her okay. Says the Mishnah Vayter. However, Ayde Nefashos Asuri Labaila. If she was held for Nefashos because she was Nidones Lamush, she was getting the death penalty, then she's going to be ushered her husband, because once she's getting the death penalty, they're going to treat her with Efkeres anyway, and therefore we're afraid that they violated her. Says the Gemara. Zomer Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak amar Rav lo shanu ela sheyad Yisrael takifal ovdei kochavim. That when do we say that if she was held for a monetary infraction, then we are not going to aser on her husband? That's only when, generally speaking, the Jewish government is stronger. That the Jewish government is, that everybody's going to defer to the Jewish government. Aval yad ovdei kochavim takifa latzma. However, if the goyim are basically in control of their own processes, of themselves, then even if they are held for a monetary infraction, she's going to be ushered her husband, because we're afraid that if it's the goyim who are really in control, they will jeopardize their ability to collect their monetary debt in order to be able to violate the woman. So far where we are, and we'll stop here, we'll pick up with this tomorrow, but so far where we are is that this distinction in the Mishnah, where we say that if she's held for a monetary issue, then she's going to be mutter her husband. It's only if she's held on the death penalty that she's going to be usher to her husband. That's only when, generally speaking, the Jewish government controls. When the Jewish government doesn't control, then we're afraid the Akum are going to run rampant. They're going to do whatever they want with the women, regardless of of what they're helpful. We'll pick up with Masiv tomorrow. Hope everybody has a great day.